Please be seated. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down in front of me." If Peter struggled to break out of his identity box and embrace a more inclusive vision, as we were noting last week, an even harder box to break out of are the ruts, the patterns of living that are in us, through a combination of everything that has happened to us and the choices we've made thus far. We'll watch, or at least a few of you will watch, some TikTok or Instagram post. Probably more of us have read self-help books, and so we'll do some of that. Or maybe a few of us will go to a counseling session, or maybe most of us will talk to someone we know and care about deeply, maybe a partner. And we'll think, this time, I'll make that change that will impact my health positively. Or this time, I'll make space in my relationships for better communication. Or I'll take that course or do that thing that I've been wanting to do for so long. And then several weeks later, there we are. And I'm speaking very personally here, eating that same piece of processed junk food I'd sworn to never touch again. There I am saying that same thing that drives my partner nuts. And interestingly, my resolution has worked against me. My momentary spasm of enthusiastic effort has actually furthered my sense that change won't happen for me, that I'm my worst enemy and I always will be. There's something kind of deep down that doesn't believe those sorts of changes can really happen. Or if it's possible for some, I don't yet have that key to walk through that door. And it is with my hour, dare I say, experience ringing in me like a bell that this week I read Jesus' question, "Do you want to get well?" In a climate in which people are more aware of things like victim shaming, victim blaming, Jesus' question can be offensive, or at least triggering. I mean, I don't go into a care home in which people have been marooned for years and ask, "Hey, do you want to be here?" That's the kind of behavior that will get my license to practice ministry taken away rather quickly. Jesus is walking into Jerusalem via the Sheep Gate. And there is a non-sanctioned shrine, a pool, a pagan site, actually, around which are crowded invalids of all sorts. It's a kind of magic pool, which seems to bubble up with healing waters, or such is the popular belief. And apparently, only the first person who enters the bubbling pool has a chance of healing. It's a healthcare system for the relatively privileged, if you will, those that have the helping hand to get into the water quickly. I mean, no one around that pool would be considered privileged, but you get my meaning. And there in that space, and you, by the way, you can still travel to many parts of the world and find such spaces and such people cluttered around. There in that space, Jesus sees one man who's been there for 38 years. We don't know how many times Jesus has come through that gate, seen this man. He seems to be aware that he's been there for a long time. And this man seems out of necessity to have made a life out of waiting for healing. Or maybe he's not even trying anymore, for the reason that he's never going to get to the water first, as he explains. And maybe because it's been so long, he can't even imagine what life would be like outside this space. His answer to Jesus implies that he's a little bit offended at Jesus' question. Maybe he takes it as a bit of an accusation, and so he rehearses his excuses. Or his story, let's be fair, his story. But Jesus' questions to those in need in the Gospels are not accusations. They're not a blaming. They probe for desire. They probe for agency. And so it's not surprising that the man's rather defensive answer isn't taken by Jesus at face value. Denise tells me about, what does that say? About lifers who are preparing for parole in the outside world in her work at William Head. And how many of them doubt that they can break out of the habits of their literal box? But how underneath their necessity to make the best of life in prison, they still want to experience the adventure of making difficult choices. They still want to risk the disappointment of being rejected, but also the possibility of being loved and accepted, the possibility of becoming something more. So they all offer excuses of why it won't work for them, but they all actually still hope that it could. And I think that's the thing we're seeing going on here. And I think this is what I would call the Christ difference, the resurrection difference. It's that hope, that belief, that God still believes in us. And Jesus believes in this man. Somehow this man picks this up. For Jesus seems to be listening below the level of words for desire and intuits hope and a future where many of us, dare I say, would only avert our eyes. I love the way Jesus respects the agency of this man despite his age, despite the patterns of life and his imaginative limitations. And so his question, "Do you want to get well?" is not victim shaming or blaming at all, but the risky question I would say that all of us actually need at different points in our life. And of course, the word "well," as you probably know by now, I've mentioned this several times in the 2 years I've been with you, is rooted in this idea of shalom, of peace, and speaks of the broader health and wholeness that is central to the Christ vision. Humanity coming to a new wholeness through a partnership with God, with us and in us. And so Jesus' question is the great question. Do you, church, do you, world, do I want to grow into what we're made for? The question shouldn't necessarily be taken as a question regarding any particular disease or sickness or malady in our lives. For Jesus, indeed, didn't heal all who were sick around him. Rather, as John's gospel is unpacking it for us, this question and questions similar to it move us into the realm of existential encounter with our desire and just so with God's Spirit, both at the same time, for they cannot be separated for those of us in Christ. Jesus moves into this realm of genuine questions that we're called to ask ourselves and, dare I say, our neighbors. How is your life going, really? Do you want to explore what is yet possible for you? Have you settled in your relationships, in your quests, in your habits for something less than what you know deep down are hoping for? What we saw with Peter last week was not a one-time fix that changed everything. His threefold vision of that sheet descending from the heavens with all manner of unclean beasts that he was commanded to kill and eat. His decision to risk his whole religious identity for the sake of Cornelius and his household simply was the first step in a lifetime quest of trying to open himself up to the radical nature of Christ's inclusive love. He did eventually become what his name suggests, a rock, willing to go to the cross for the sake of his Savior. But only over time, that reflected a three steps forward, two steps backwards pattern. Similarly, imagine the challenges of this man after he takes up his mat and begins to walk away from all he knew. I mean, they would have been immense, right? What to do? How to make a living? How not to starve? How to find love and acceptance when you're now outside of the only community you've really known? But that's it, isn't it? That's it. Church is giving each other the time for the conversation, for the questions even that will, over time, sometimes see us still staying in the ruts. But sometimes those questions, those conversations touch the core of something inexpressible, something that nudges us, shifts us to take on some more risk, maybe let go a little bit of those things that are familiar to us. The resurrection is not a self-help technique. It's not some bubbling pool of fresh resolution. But thanks be to God, it is now the reality that our techniques and resolutions operate within. The resurrection has and will change everything for us, and ultimately for our world, but not easily and not instantaneously. Are you ready to take up your mat? Do you dare wake to your deepest desire? Sometimes we'll say, no, not yet. Sometimes we'll be like Lydia and welcome the word, and a new chapter will open for us. Whatever the case, Jesus will keep wandering by. Amen.